Hi, I'm Matthew McCabe. Welcome to Miracle Voices. Each episode, we will be delving into stories of forgiveness, healing, and transformation that have come about from integrating the principles of the book, A Course in Miracles. If you want to learn more about A Course in Miracles, visit www.acim.org. If you'd like to visit the Miracle Voices site, please go to www.miraclevoices.org. If you feel inspired to make a love offering, please visit us at miraclevoices.org/donate. All donations go to support the work of the Foundation for Inner Peace, the publisher of A Course in Miracles. Now here's your program. Just a quick note before we get started today. I hope you're all doing well after Judy's transition. It is a hard time, a lot of sadness, but at the same time, I definitely still feel Judy's presence. And I hope you do too. What an unbelievable light she was. And she continues to give us hope in our minds. And I hope you feel the comfort of that, as I do. Well, we actually have, I think, two or three more episodes that Judy and I recorded, but did not release yet. So we have a couple more with her and I. And this one, we didn't release because my audio wasn't great, but hers was fantastic. So I'll release that now so you can listen to it. Just forgive my audio because there was a glitch in mine. So here you go.
Hi, Judy. Welcome back to another edition of Miracle Voices. How are you doing today?
Oh, thank you so much, Matt. I just love being here, so I'm doing just fine.
Oh, great. And I want to jump into your story about the Iranian hostage crisis and your talk at the University of New Hampshire. But before we do, maybe could you just give us a reminder of what forgiveness means according to A Course in Miracles for people that might just be joining us?
Yeah. Forgiveness according to A Course in Miracles is very different than forgiveness according to the world's definition. I think we know pretty well what forgiveness is in the world. A lot of people even say, oh, it has to do with turning the other cheek. This is not what we're talking about. Forgiveness in the world presupposes that someone did something to someone and therefore needs forgiveness, and that one must or should, in order to forgive, give them either the benefit of the doubt, or in a way, it's not an equal situation. Because the forgiver is forgiving the person who offended her or him out of hopeful generosity. And it doesn't really seem as if it attacks the question. Now, A Course in Miracles is a system of non-duality, which means it's concentrating only on the spirit part of us, which is connected directly to God. We are all blessed with an inner voice, a higher voice, if you want to call it a conscience, a higher teacher, the Holy Spirit. It's called in A Course in Miracles. And the Holy Spirit is named as the voice for God. So we always have this in us to help us make decisions. And in truth, the object of A Course in Miracles is to let that inner voice be the decision maker rather than our egos or our ordinary personality selves. So then, according to A Course in Miracles, when you are forgiving someone, you are looking at it in the field of oneness. You're not looking at it in the field of separation. We are two separate bodies and one has done something terrible to the other. You're looking at it as the dream that we are dreaming. This world, the Course says, is an illusion. It's a dream, and we're dreaming it. Very, very hard for us to accept that. But as we go along with various spiritual teachings, we begin to say, hey, this very well could be true. So, forgiveness in the Course is letting your mind in right-mindedness through the Holy Spirit by your asking for guidance to forgive the other person so that it's gone. The past no longer exists in your mind. You don't necessarily forget, but the pain of it is over. You feel nothing except kindness, generosity, and hopefully love, for that other person in which you've been involved in this process. So you sort of get the idea by the various stories we're telling in this series that forgiveness, according to A Course in Miracles, really works. And yeah. There are various quotes that I love along the way. One of them is this, and the Course says, "Forgiveness is the only thing that stands for truth in this illusion of the world." So when you're in a process of forgiveness, or you want to forgive, or you say to yourself when you get up in the morning, "Oh God, I really don't want to see her or him today because I dislike this person so much and they're such a pain," stop for a second and say, that may not be the way to look at this. Turn to your higher guidance, your Holy Spirit, and yourself. Please help me see this differently. I want to look past this. I want to forgive. And then go to work and see what happens. So you can test it out every minute of the day. And these stories that we're telling are sort of the tests and what happened.
Yeah. It's so helpful that you mention it that way, because a lot of times I get stuck in the quicksand of thinking I, as I perceive myself as a dream figure, need to do something in the dreamscape to make things better. When in truth, I'm stopping. And as you mentioned, you know, asking to see this differently, not asking myself the physical form to see this differently, but, you know, higher self. How can I see this differently? Help me see this differently.
Yeah, that's it exactly. And the thing is that I don't know why I get surprised, because I've been practicing, of course, 46 years now, but I always get surprised when it changes. When I say, all along, I could have seen it differently. All I had to do was ask. That's what the Course is telling us, is this Holy Spirit is not outside of us. It is integral to who we are. It's just that we have seen duality and therefore put our own personal interests as opposed or separate from someone else's. The Holy Spirit's plan is to help us see all our interests are exactly the same. Such as one will say, everyone wants love. Now, who's going to say, no, I don't want love? I mean, everyone wants love. It's a truism. But how do we achieve that? And this is the kind of information, guidance, and teaching that I find in A Course in Miracles.
Yeah. So when you're in this mental space and things are going well and you kind of have this miracle readiness, and then there's some complex relationship that enters the room. Maybe it's a friend or a family member or someone from the past. Either you have guilt or resentment. And then this kind of dust up, this cloud of emotions comes up, and it obscures all those forgiveness thoughts that I had when I was in this miracle readiness state. And emotions are there, and I forget everything I've learned. And how do you deal with it in that moment where it's just like, all I'm feeling is like the static of this painful emotion, and I can't remember the Course principles I'm so much want to integrate?
You know, I think this is very individual. Everything is a decision. We're either making it with our higher mind or we're making it with the ego. And then we say, who do I want to make this decision? Both of them are inside of me. I have a choice here. I can either keep in this cloud of guilt and unhappiness and my buttons being pushed, or I can say, I cannot handle this. Holy Spirit, please take over. So you retreat from being the one in charge, and you put your higher self in charge. And to think of it as divorced from you is probably a mistake. It's always there for you. At that moment, when you feel in the cloud of despair, all you have to do is to remember to ask for help. Now, what I mean by people have different shortcuts, what I find I used to do, particularly with one person, when I knew she was going to call me, I wrote out on a little piece of paper, I could see this differently. Please help me. And I put it in my, I folded up and I held it in my hand the whole time I talked to her. And every time I was tempted, as she seemed to be attacking me, which by the ego standard she sure was, I would squeeze my hand hard and remind myself to say that over. And did it happen right away? No, it was a long-standing relationship, but each time it got a little better until finally, at the end of her life, and she was just about my age, at the very end of her life, I could not say that I loved anybody more or knew I was loved by her the same way.
Oh, wow.
So in an old, intense relationship, and I would say basically with best friends, family members, children, of course, old teachers, business associates, the people that you had the most to do with the closest who hurt you the most. I don't think that it happens instantly overnight, but it seems as if it does, because each time you ask for higher guidance, when you either think of that person or you're in actual contact with that person, it's a shift. It shifts a little. And so all of a sudden, in time, I couldn't tell you, sometimes in years, sometimes in 2 days, it's up to you. But to give yourself those little extra shortcuts, I call them, that would be right for you. Maybe it's squeezing two fingers together. Maybe it's having it and a big sign in your office where you're sitting and talking to someone on the phone and it's always in front of you. I could see this differently. Please help me. Or whatever you want to put that reminds you that you are.
I have a little sign that says "Love holds no grievances" right next to me.
There you go. "Love holds no grievances" is a great quote from the course. So, but today I wanted to tell you something that came to me. I hadn't realized that I had this in the back of my mind, and I had virtually forgotten it until we started to talk about these forgiveness stories. And so, one just cropped up the other day that I forgot, but I think it's important. It was important to me, so I'll share it with you, and perhaps it'll be helpful to other people too.
Please.
And this goes back a long time ago to actually, I believe the year was probably 1980. Probably 1980. It was in the midst of what we then call the Iranian hostage crisis or situation. Newspapers, of course, were full of it. Americans had been captured by the Iranians, and they were being held actually for 444 days from November 1979 to January 1981. And Western media described this crisis as an entanglement of vengeance and mutual comprehension. Now, I'm not sure that's newspaper speak, but I copied that line down at the time and put it in my journal. And thought, interesting, vengeance. Yes, of course, there was a lot of vengeance going on. And we still, unfortunately, do not have a relationship with that country that would be called peaceful. But meanwhile, they had hostages that they were holding who were American citizens. And President Jimmy Carter at the time had planned a very elaborate rescue mission to get them out of there, and it went awry, so it didn't happen. Therefore, a lot of confidence was lost. At that time, my husband Whit and I were invited to go to University of New Hampshire to give a talk on A Course in Miracles. And we thought it was to the psychology department and the religion department, because they were the ones who usually asked us to come and speak. But lo and behold, for some reason, they opened it up to everyone. So we were kind of surprised to see a mob of mixture of professors and the students, and probably even townies. It was okay, because it didn't really matter in numbers whether we just spoke to the psychology department or the religion department, but it was a very mixed bag. And we started to talk, and it doesn't really matter what the talk was about. It was about principles in A Course in Miracles and forgiveness. And one woman raised her hand energetically to interrupt, And since she stood up and was waving her hands, she needed to be called upon. And so I asked her to please come forward and speak, and we'll try to respond to what it was she was agitated about. And she said something like this: how can you people come here and talk to us about forgiveness when we're in the middle of a crisis with American hostages being held by the government of Iran? And that's all that seems to be on our minds. And we are furious. And you're talking about forgiveness. How can you forgive them anyway? And I looked at my husband, and he looked at me and raised his eyebrows like, you take this one. You're the one who was asked. And all I could think of was, help. For an instant, I knew I could not answer that question. And all I did was ask for help. Interior, of course, I didn't say it out loud. And then I said to her, look, I would like to make it a little bit more personal right now. Everybody, of course, is upset about this situation, and we are certainly not unaware of it. But we are talking about forgiveness. And forgiveness, the way we're talking about, is the change of mind. We have no idea what's going to happen if we ask our higher guidance to please help us change our minds. So I would like it, if you wouldn't mind, to just stop the talk and let's all close our eyes for a moment. If you like to hold someone else's hand, that's fine, but not necessary. Let's just stop for a moment and go into our interior selves. And we all know what that means, and ask for us to see this in a different way. And she humphed very loud and she sat down. And we all closed our eyes. I assumed we all did. There were a lot of people there. I know I certainly did. And what I got in answer to my question was, be at peace. It's all right. Be at peace. Because I was really scared. I was really scared of this situation, that we were going to make a mess of this talk. And after a few minutes of silence, I opened my eyes, and some people still had their eyes closed, and some people had their eyes open. And by the time everyone came out of their quiet time, there was absolute hush in the room. And the first person to jump up was the same woman. And she said, I have to report something. And I thought, uh-oh, here we go. She said, I thought this was a bunch of hooey, and I don't even know why I came today. She said, and I refused to close my eyes, and I refused to go to any inner self. And then I realized everyone was doing it. Why was I keeping myself separate? So I'll try. And she said, I closed my eyes, and I said, please give me a thought that would help me not be so angry about the situation, and please give me something to do. I feel so helpless. And she said, immediately it came to me, we have quite a few Iranian students on campus. She said, my husband and I, and he's a professor here, have open house every Sunday for any of the graduate students or the undergraduates who want to come and talk about politics. And we haven't seen the Iranian students since it started. And usually four or five of them would come to our house for lunch, and we would have a wonderful time with them. And I suddenly realized they must be so frightened and they must feel so terrible. And I bet nobody has invited them over. They must feel so isolated. Who am I to deny them the love and the warmth that we always give freely to the students? So what I'm going to do this Sunday is make sure that every single one of them is invited. And she sat down, everyone applauded, and that was the end of that. So, I mean, wow. Not the end of our talk, but it was the end of the focus on something that was fearful, where we felt vulnerable and we couldn't do anything about it, to something that was beautiful, an extension of love, where we could do something about it. Maybe not about the hostages, but certainly about those held hostage by us, meaning the people who were not Iranian on that campus.
Yeah. That makes me think, you know, the Iranian hostage crisis, you know, this kind of, I guess that would be, that's a conflict. There's conflict in the mind, attack thoughts, this kind of some of the words that are in the course. When you think about attack thoughts, what does that mean when you read that term in the course?
Attack thoughts are any grievances or bad feelings that you are holding against another person, including yourself. I would even want to say especially yourself, because it's kind of easy once you get the hang of it to look past slights that people give you, or you got left off an invitation list, or you got fired from your job, or you're going through a divorce, or things that are much more, you know, pernicious, it seems, to the ego than that. But we're always thinking attack thoughts. That's usually what the ego chooses first.
Yeah.
And the attack thoughts against ourselves are the worst. You just said right before about feeling guilty. Yeah. Feeling guilty when you're with a parent or a family member or associate, when you get caught up again in the old pattern, the old story that we tell ourselves about our so-called enemies, we have to forgive ourselves too. And we have to forgive ourselves for having attack thoughts. And then once you forgive yourself for it, you find, oh, that's not hard. And so the next time you remember sooner and sooner and sooner. I remember a long time ago, one of the co-scribes of A Course in Miracles, who was my dear friend, Dr. William Thetford, he had a wonderful sense of humor. And usually if I asked him a question, he'd usually make the answer funny, but I'd learn something. But this one day I was really, really, really angry at someone, and I didn't see how I was in the wrong at all. And I called him up on the telephone and I said to him, look, I've been practicing the course, and this person, I really have been working through my problems with him. But, you know, how long does it take? And he said very quietly to me, with no joke at all, as long as you choose to hold the grievance, honey. As long as I choose to hold the grievance, it puts it right back on me. I am the one who's seeing the separation. I am the one who is seeing the injustice. I am the one who's feeling maligned. But I don't have to. Remember the old saying, it takes two to tango? And it was used to say, really, it meant argument. If you withdraw from an argument, the other person doesn't have a leg to stand on. If you just won't respond, there is no more argument. In this sense, it's more than that. It's deeper, because it indicates that you really do, at some part of yourself, believe in a world of singularity or connectedness or oneness or whatever we want to call it. We are all one, certainly not in bodies, certainly not as we see ourselves separated in this world. But this is not all there is. This is a dream we're dreaming. And when we wake up from a dream, what happens? It's over. The effects might last, if it's a very bad dream, a little while. Maybe your heart is pounding or your adrenaline is rushing, but you just laugh at yourself. You did it to yourself. We do it to ourselves. If we take responsibility for undoing it, we see the miracle happen. The miracle of forgiveness, the miracle of the whole thing going away. But we first have to ask for help. This cannot be done ourselves. We're too ingrained in the ego's thought system. So the course is really a course of unlearning. And as my friends told me, who were the scribes of the course, when they first started to understand what it really meant after they were taking it down, that if this were true, then everything they knew of the world, they'd had to change their minds about.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's a big challenge, but it's a challenge we give ourselves.
Yeah, what does it say? Resign right now as your own teacher, or something like that, of course.
Yes. And you know, well, if I'm resigning as my own teacher or my own boss, what's going to happen? I love the line in the course, I choose the second place to gain the first, which means you are not first, but your higher self is. And in choosing the second place, which means not the boss all the time of everything you do, but rather asking your own higher inner guidance to help you with that, you are then gaining the first place because it is yourself.
Yeah. Great points. All of this is so relevant still. All these stories have so much overlap. They seem to be these unique situations and concepts we have to grasp. But then as I digest them and think about them more, it's like, oh, they all kind of, there's huge overlap between all these concepts. And it allows for some integration of these principles. So another great story, Judy.
Well, I think together, Matthew, we're sort of also helping each other, aren't we? Because we're living life as we know it, and we see the world through ego eyes. But when we see the world through real eyes, which is called vision, I love the pun on it, then we begin to realize what indeed we truly are, and that's life-changing.
Yeah. Well, on a personal note, Judy, I don't know if listeners know, but you just celebrated your 90th birthday. So I know everybody joins me in clapping and wishing you a happy birthday. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing all your wisdom and guidance. It helps so much. People are leaving reviews in Apple Podcasts and other places that really helps us, not just morale, but it also helps these other search engines and different podcast platforms to find the show. So if you haven't left a review yet, please, you know, we encourage you to leave one. That helps more people to find the show and to hear all the subjects we're talking about. And if you know any other course students that would benefit from hearing what Judy and I are talking about and the guests that come on the show, please do invite them to listen. We do have a contact form on miraclevoices.org. If you have any questions that you have for us that you'd like us to discuss in the show, maybe we could do a show just answering those questions. So don't be shy about going to miraclevoices.org and just putting questions in for Judy and I, and we can try to get those answers for you. Judy, is there any other comments or thoughts you have before we close today?
Actually, Matthew, you brought up my being 90 years old. Thank you.
Sure.
No, I'm not the least bit shy about that. I kind of think it's remarkable because I never imagined myself being 90 years old. But of course, that's years in terms of the world. And that has nothing to do with our eternal self spirit. I could just say that one of the things that has been so helpful to me that I found and tested and tested and tested is, again, recognizing that although we may not think all of this is true, all you have to do is start to try it. You don't have to believe in it. You don't have to believe it works. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to believe in anything.
Right.
But rather, the psychological concept of finding inner peace by going to a part of yourself that is in there that we cannot take away for help, and acknowledging that it's really there and letting oneself see that it works, I think for me has been the biggest lesson in my life.
Yeah. It does really work. That's no joke.
And the result, by the way, I would have said happiness and peace of mind, certainly more, but now I say joy. Because that's what it is.
Well, it's what a great place to end on, joy, Judy. Thanks so much for another episode here. We look forward to the next one and have a great day.
Thank you, Matthew. And wherever you're traveling, have a great time.
Thanks so much for listening today. Please subscribe to Miracle Voices by hitting the subscribe button on your podcast app. If you are enjoying these conversations, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcast app you use. And lastly, please visit us at miraclevoices.org and join our newsletter so we can stay connected. Until the next podcast, I want to leave you with my favorite course quote, "When you want only love, you will see nothing else."